Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Adisk, to bring you opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. On this very, very fine day of Wednesday, February 5th, 2014. Great day in the markets today. They brought them back as usual on the paper markets, but in the gold and silver markets. Let me go ahead and get to that little page. Here we are. We should have it right up, but we have gold up 350 today. 350 at 1258.90. We had a high of 1275 and a low of 1251. But so 1258, almost 1259, not so bad. Silver's up 35 cents today at 1996, had a high of 2032. Platinum was up 6 at 1387, and palladium was up 8 at $713. The USDX today down 0.08 at 81.02. Crude oil today was pretty much unchanged, 97.27, up 0.08. And they barely brought the paper markets back today. It was down, I think it did touch triple digits earlier in the day. But they were, everyone is preparing for the big job data Friday. And then we got another day to go before Friday. We'll be talking about that after we give these numbers on the ADP report. They were way off last month, so we'll have to see, you know, what they are, you know, how they fare out this month. But you had the Dow down 5 points today at 15,440. You had the Nasdaq down 19 at 4,011. S&P down 3 at 1751, and the 10-year yield today was higher 0.04 at 2.67. And I guess I'm just going to go right to Al. Hi, Al.
Hi, Melody. What else are we going to talk about? Now that we've got the numbers out of the way, what should we talk about next?
I mean, It's just been one of those days. It's been hectic. We had a lot of snow in central Pennsylvania, so a lot of the staff didn't come in today, and it was just too dangerous for them to drive. And so it's been a very hectic day today, but a good day. Here at Discount Gold and Silver Trading, people are taking advantage of these lower prices as they see them inch up little by little. But what's interesting, Al, is I hear people who are trying to say, well, I'm going to wait to see if it pulls back. And what happens, folks? It'll squeak away from you. It'll just move up a little bit, and a dollar at a time, dollar at a time. Next thing you're looking, it's like, oh, it's up $50 in the blink of an eye. So you shouldn't play that game. I think these are great prices at these levels. So if you're looking to get into the market, we've got some great buys and bargains here at Discount Gold and Silver. But the ADP report, Al.
Oh, we've got something from Yahoo Finance. The headline is Sell the News, Why the Job Report That's Coming Out This Friday Will Give Wall Street Another Excuse to Unload Stocks. Now, that's an interesting headline. They're not saying why the job report that they anticipate coming out this Friday will cause the stock price of stocks to fall. They're saying, the headline says, that it will give Wall Street another excuse to unload stocks. And it implies that there's something more fundamental going on. There is a downward trend, and people on Wall Street are simply looking for an excuse to unload stocks. That's the implication. And true or false, you guesstimate for yourselves, folks. But it says, the article says, stocks are groping for direction on Wednesday after Automatic Data Processing Incorporated said 175,000 jobs were added to the U.S. private sector in January. The figure was just shy of analyst estimates. Attention now turns to Friday morning's release of the much-anticipated non-farm payrolls report. Analysts are officially looking for 190,000 jobs created in January, but according to Mark Lehman of JMP Securities, what Wall Street really seeks are reasons to justify more selling. Lehman explained, saying, the market is finding excuses to go down, just like it found excuses to go up last year. Well, and it also points out a little later that the market has been powering ahead on the basis of momentum for months. In other words, it was going higher because it was going higher, so it went higher. And now something else may be happening. And perhaps the momentum has turned. It's no longer sustainable. People are beginning to realize that the reason that the market is moving up or has been moving up until the last month or so, the reason the market had been generally moving up and reaching new highs has more to do with things like government stimulation than it does with actual value of the stocks. And when you get to that, when you see that, you begin to realize, well, the reason I'm buying this is because it's been presented fraudulently by our own government. Sooner or later, when you realize that, you say, wait a second, do I really want to purchase something whose value may be official, but it's fraudulent? Do I really want to buy the fraud? So this is just, for me, this is just an interesting article, especially the headlines. They're looking for an excuse to unload stocks. That's at least one man's opinion. What do you think, Melody? Are they looking for an excuse to unload stocks, or are stocks likely to legitimately be sold, and will the price legitimately go downward this Friday if the job report doesn't work out the way they hope or expect?
Well, I think they can call it any way they want, but I think anybody that had half a brain really knows that there was just a bunch of hot air holding the stock market up. You had, yeah, you know, all the talk is of, you know, Twitter and you know, all these other, you know, who do absolutely nothing. You know, they do absolutely, like, Bitcoin. It's like, okay, who's even, I mean, just bizarre. But you also have to remember last year, more private investors than institutional investors. So therefore, you get all these kinds of crazy numbers and so forth. But anybody with a half a brain knows that the stock market was only up because of the Federal Reserve. That was the fundamental. And they all know what's going to happen. And it's their job to tell people, oh, you know, this is a good buy right now. And hey, it's corrected to 6. We're going on 10. And, you know, now's a good time. Oh, it's going higher. Of course they're going to tell you that. But, you know, I think on on February 11th, Janet Yellen gives her first talk. So it will be interesting to see if she doesn't talk before that, if these markets continue to unfold. Somebody's going to have to do some speaking to try to put a plug in it, but there's nothing under these markets, so yeah, they're going to sell. They need to get out. They need to sell it to somebody.
Yeah, they need to get out. It's one of these situations. They're caught in a position similar to China. China's got all these U.S. treasuries, and they don't really want them because they know the price is going to go down. But if they start selling them, they will make the price go down. So they're kind of caught. You know, you got something you'd like to unload, but if you try to unload it, you start selling and the price is going to fall more rapidly than you can sell. And then you wind up losing money. If you sell, you actually wind up losing money. It's crazy, isn't it?
Well, at least they are buying some things in order to dump some of those dollars that they are holding. I mean, they are going around buying up much of the world. I don't think they bought up the Federal Reserve, but I think they're buying up much of the world. Land, minerals, commodities, you know, things that they're going to you know, in order to control the rest of the world. They're strategically buying, and of course, a lot of that money is going right into their military, and everybody, no one speaks about their military and how powerful they are becoming. And so everybody talks.
They've got ways to go. They've got a long ways to go before they can match the U.S. military. Now, there's some things you don't want to do. You don't want to get into a land war against the Chinese military because they can throw more people than bullets at you. They, you know, you certainly don't want to.
Oh, I think they're a lot further along than I think most people believe.
That may be true, but still they've got a long ways to go. Our military spends, we spend more on the military than all the rest of the world combined. And China's going to have to go a long way.
What do you think China's spending? They're not going to tell you what they're spending. They're not going to tell you what they're spending.
Well, I didn't ask. I didn't expect them to tell me.
They'll tell you one thing, but I wouldn't believe anything that they came out and reported. But they're not going to tell.
One thing I don't believe is what the government, what our government reports. I don't expect China to tell the truth. I was kind of hoping our government would, but as it turns out, that was naive of me. I was one of these naive people who thought our government would be honest.
But the jobs report will be interesting on Friday. And, of course, there was another report released today that, well, we knew that the Obamacare would cost anywhere from $2 to $2.5 trillion in the next 10 years. Of course, it was sold. Obama sold it to the public that it would only cost $900 billion. But they upped it.
Such a deal.
And, you know, in a few years to $2 trillion. So we'll see where we really end up paying for it. But also it will lose about two and a half million jobs?
It will lose about 2 million.
2 million jobs?
It will translate into 2 million fewer workers in the labor force by 2017, which is 3 years away.
Not that far. Right?
Mm-mm, not that far. And that's the guesstimate. That's coming out of the Congressional Budget Office. It will eliminate the equivalent. It doesn't actually say 2 million workers will be out of work. It says the equivalent of 2 million workers because they calculate that the number of hours that people will be working will be significantly reduced. Not dramatically. See, Congressional Budget Office estimates that the Affordable Care Act, that's we call it Affordable Care Act now rather than Obamacare because that's the O word, okay? We don't say the N word, and we don't say the O word, which is Obamacare, because that ties Obama to this health care program, and he doesn't want to be associated with that train wreck anymore. In any case, the Congressional Budget Office estimates that the Affordable Care Act will reduce the total number of hours worked on net by about 1.5% to 2% during the period from 2017 to 2024, almost entirely because workers will choose to supply less labor, given the new taxes and other incentives that they will face and the financial benefits some will receive. So what they're saying is we're going to have we're going to work on average 1.2 to 2% less per, or excuse me, 1.5 to 2% less per week per year, starting around 2017, and this is the equivalent to losing about 2 million workers. You know, it's an interesting statistic because you sit back and say, okay, we're only going to lose, we're going to work about 1.5 to 2% less. Well, that doesn't sound like much. But on the other hand, it's a little bit like saying the unemployment rate will rise. There will be 1.5 to 2% more unemployment. True, we will all still keep our jobs, basically, but we will work 1.5 to 2% less in those years. How will the economy, prosper, or will the economy tend to decline if we have the equivalent of 1.5 to 2% more people who are unemployed? What's going to happen? And the answer is obvious. The economy will tend to decline. And it's consistent with article we presented on this program back now, probably 4 or 5 months ago. A couple of economists did a study, calculated that the cost of government regulations was literally strangling this country, and that while our median family income is right now about $53,000 a year, if our regulation level was the same as it was back in 1940-49, we would be making, the average median family income would be about $330,000.
Do you really believe that, Al? Because you know what? We talked about this prior to...
I don't see that those numbers are absolutely accurate. I won't.
No. This was my point. Let me finish my point. Because prior to the program, we were talking about the amount of money that Americans lost to gambling last year alone. $119 billion.
Yeah.
So how poor is this nation when people can gamble away $119 billion? The biggest in the world. We have the biggest gamblers in the world.
Well, we may have some of the most desperate people, too. I'm not going to argue that everyone who gambles is desperate.
Well, I don't know. I think there's a lot of desperate people in Greece and South Africa, Turkey. And
I get that, but they don't have the benefit of the lotto. You can't go down and bet on the lotto at the 7-Eleven and down at the corner and get yourself, spend a dollar and get yourself a lotto ticket. You know, a lot of people bet on that lotto just because it doesn't seem like much. They're taking their shot, and they need some semblance of hope.
The biggest here in the States was the casinos. And all of these states are signing bills and everything to open up more casinos. So while they're opening up more casinos to get more tax revenue, more people are going broke.
I know.
Yes, they do have a choice.
Yeah.
But have we become to the point where there isn't anything for people to do but to do that? But they
isn't that exactly, but for some people that may be the case. And you know, gambling, I've talked about this a number of times on the program, but I saw a report years ago that ultimately indicated that they did studies. They took people who were habitual gamblers, they put them in rooms where they had fixed the slot machines and fixed the roulette wheel and so on, where they could pay out more or less. And what they discovered is as they increased the rate of payout on these different games, the gamblers lost interest. They don't want to pay games they can win. Ultimately, a true gambler is playing to lose. Right? That's why they play, and that's why Las Vegas is filled with lights. Those lights are paid for by all the people who lose. They go to Las Vegas to lose. There's a psychological screw loose in people that are compulsive gamblers. They're not playing to win, they're playing to lose. So what does that indicate? I don't know. It indicates that this nation is, somebody needs to tighten up the nut behind the steering wheel, because a lot of us aren't hitting on all eight cylinders. I'm Alfred Addis. This is the Financial Survival here with Melody Cedarstrom. Be back in a moment. Please stay tuned.
have a heart condition and emergency rooms and medical doctors are not an option, you need our emergency heart attack kit. 5 concentrated liquid formulas enter the system in 60 seconds to protect your heart muscle, strengthen heartbeat, increase circulation, relieve pain, and make breathing easier. When seconds count, you want all the help you can get with our emergency heart attack kit. Easy to use and portable in a 1-pound compact kit for your purse, briefcase, or car. Call Apothecary Herbs now for your emergency heart attack kit, toll free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis, here on Financial Survival with Melody Cedars from programs brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver, 1-800-375-4188. I'm not sure if Melody does or does not have a special, so let's find out. Melody, got a special today?
At these prices, as always, it's always a special. Get it while it's cold, folks. You know, you hear the old saying, get it while it's hot. Well, now's the time to buy it while it's cold. Give us a call at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Make sure you visit our website at dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com. Make sure you sign up for our weekly newsletter. As Al, we have Lori Roth joining us this afternoon, and we do publish her article in our newsletter on a weekly basis that she does. It's always an interesting article that she produces, and she has her own radio program. And it is Dr. Lori Roth. She has a PhD in counseling. She is the host, and she was the host and co-producer for the popular PBS show CD Highway. She's hosted successful talk shows on radio stations from Boston to L.A., and she's even hosted as MC at CPAC, the Conservative Political Action Conference. And so she's got a great background. She's doing radio right now, and I'm pleased to welcome Dr. Lori Roth to the program.
Hi, Melody. Great to be with you. We're still alive and well in America, even though we have an administration from hell.
I agree. Kind of surprising almost. It's surprising that the government has managed to maintain the corruption as long as they have, but it's also surprising that the American people have been able to survive as long as they have. We've got a little bit of an irresistible force and an immovable object. How do you think it's going to work out?
Well, apparently it's going to work out very well, according to Obama in his State of the Union. he made, I don't know how many millions of jobs, and 9 million have signed up for Obamacare. Of course, millions and millions have been dropped from their insurance policies, and that was a lie. Creating millions of jobs is a lie. Medicaid not being increased in price is a lie. I desperately looked through the vapors of lies to see if there was anything truthful other than excuses and bull rot in his speech, and there wasn't. It was just more of the same. I'm sorry, but I have to pen and I have to phone. I will fix the economy if the Congress won't. You know, of course, it's Congress and GOP's fault. He is going to fix the economy. Aren't you guys relieved that the economy won't have any more problems after Obama's done with them?
Yeah, there may not be an economy.
Yeah.
The problems will be gone, and so maybe the economy be gone. How do you really think this is going to work out in the near future? Are we going to survive the Obama administration and muddle on or muddle through, or are we going to see things improve? Are we going to see things decline? And are we headed for more serious economic problems? What do you think?
Well, honestly, I've written about this and screamed about it for weeks and months on my show. I think that because of the immense pain of Obamacare and so many millions being dumped and their rates being tripled and quadrupled and the amount of care dropping dramatically, I think that that's hurting Democrats and Republicans, black, white, and everybody in between. So I think that they didn't quite anticipate it being that hideous. I think that is a gift to the GOP if they don't screw it up. It's a gift in the 2014 election, so I'm encouraged that the GOP may indeed fortify the House and take back the Senate. But all that does is put them in the ring. Then I have said, and I mean it with all my heart, now the real game is in place. The American people have to get so close to the GOP in the ring if they take back the Senate, which I think they will because of the immense, horrifying fallout of Obamacare. I think that then we have to make sure they don't do their stupid going back to the 50-yard line and, oh, let's keep part of Obamacare. No, we have to demand they repeal it. We have to demand that they get back into Constitution and common sense government and less government. And the only way the GOP that wants to be establishment and, oh, let's just do status quo and protect their backsides, the only way for them not to repeat their own mistakes is for us to breathe down their neck and have really bad breath.
Well, we can all eat lots of garlic and scampi and the rest of that sort of thing, and we can stay at them. But what do you suppose, how do you view the Tea Party? Are they making a positive difference to move the GOP in a good direction, or are they just obstructionists?
I think that they are revolutionaries in a good sense. I think that the Tea Party they're reflecting, you know, really a simple statement of they want less taxation, they want common sense government, and they want constitutional government. That is what it's about. And I think that they are a ray of hope. They did wonderfully to get the midterms last time turned around, and that shocked people. But
yeah,
they are going against the establishment in the GOP that is really more progressive than they are conservative. They're really more socialist and big government. They can hide behind we're pro-life and we're pro-this, but they're not. The establishment like John McCain and Lindsey Graham and some of these people that know better, that have looked the other way on too many things, like the NDAA bill, et cetera, they're about as conservative as ice cube factories are in hell.
I get you. What can we do to support the Tea Party? Is there a general principle, or you just look around in your own community, in your own state, and identify the Tea Party on the internet and get involved as best you can. Is there anything more fundamental that we can do to support them and the party and the candidates that at least give lip service to the Tea Party and the candidates that hopefully represent the Tea Party? Do you have a fundamental principle here, or is
The first thing people have to do in their various states is they have to get very informed, not just gossip over coffee at Starbucks. No, they have to get very informed, go online, find out who's running in their state and county, who is running and what do they really stand for, really research and then get behind. I don't care if they call themselves Democrat, Independent, Republic. I don't care what they call themselves. Usually the conservatives are the GOP, but nowadays you really have to pay attention. Who is doing what? And then I'd say get behind them. Donation, give them donations. Help them grow their audience or get attention, put out posters. You have to get behind the conservatives because if this is such a critical time and Obama is destroying our economy and the best healthcare system in the world, we have to get not only him out, but the progressive ideology that's crushing us out.
Obama is causing us great harm, but he's not doing it all by himself. And one of the things that amazed me and astonished me is there was evidence before the Democratic primary, and it was originally garnered by people close to the Clinton campaign. There was evidence that he wasn't eligible to be president, but Hillary Clinton never said anything about it. The Democratic Party never said anything about it. Democratic political action committees never said anything. Even if they were in favor of Hillary, they still didn't say anything about it, so far as I know. And then when Obama gets nominated, the Republicans didn't say anything about it. Even though the evidence was at least available, I won't say it was proof at the time, but there was at least evidence and it wasn't touched. It suggests that both the Republican Party and the Democrat Party are working like puppets and obeying some higher authority that is unseen to the American people. Is that suggestion reasonable or is that just evidence of more conspiracy theories?
No, I think in this day and age, the people we used to think were wackoids and conspiracy people on drugs and wanting attention, the conspiracies are real. As you just said, there are handlers. Agenda 21, sustainability, the UN, the international agenda, the New World Order. It's all sadly and horrifyingly real. And Common Core is a tentacle out from that to control kids in the federally manipulated into place program that turn sex education into sex porn for kids from kindergarten on up, and it's total indoctrination. It rewrites our entire history so that they're to be ashamed, and talks about in their history teaching the Boston Tea Party patriots, those brave patriots, they compare them with 9/11 terrorists. That's history they're teaching in Common Core. So when you look at the agenda behind what's going on, it is evil, and it is a big one-world government agenda, one-world currency, one-world religion. And in order to do that, they have to crush parental sovereignty, state sovereignty, our Judeo-Christian values, and turn that into Islam and socialist crap from hell.
I agree. One of the surprising things, though, is that they are pushing ahead so rapidly and so overtly. You know, it used to be that these forces were suspected, but they were not openly seen. All right, you might be able to infer their presence, but you couldn't actually see them. Right now, they're in your face. They're not making any bones about it. Is this evidence that they have become so powerful that they don't have to hide? Or is this evidence that their cause is now so vulnerable that they figure they better make their move now because they're not going to be here 5 years from now? Do you follow what I'm saying, Dr. Roth?
Yeah, I think it's a little of both. And I think how that turns out depends on the people listening and what they're going to do in the 2014 and 2016 elections. We have to awake the sleeping giant just as Japan did when they bombed Pearl Harbor. We have to understand that we are the largest branch of government, and they cannot do this anymore. Obama cannot be the criminal that he is anymore and get away with it. You know what? If the House and the Senate isn't going to do crap, if they're not going to deal with this, then the people have to. They have to not only vote, they have to understand that they have state sovereignty, whether Obama decides they don't or not, and there's no reason they have to be forced to obey Obamacare or be fined. Because if they submit to that, then the next week he's going to decide you have to drive my kind of car because there's carbon emissions in the one you have, and you either do that or you're not going to be able to drive, or we're going to use satellite and we're going to cut you off and you're going to only be able to go so far, and then the car will stop. See, these are the kinds of things that are in progressives' minds, the controls will never stop. It will go all through food production, what we eat and what we don't and what we can't get, everything. And so we have to decide now what's going to happen in the 2014 elections, and we can't just sit around and gossip and, oh, well, I hope the good guys win. Or, you know, I'll just go down and vote. Not enough. It is not enough this time. Our country really depends on all of us dreaming, organizing, donating, getting behind fierce conservatives that mean business. And then it's not enough when they get elected, because some of them will. But then we have to breathe on them and not be insulting and swearing and throwing stones, but really let them know we are right there with them, and you had best not backpedal this time.
Mm-hmm. I agree with you. Go ahead, Mel.
You know, I just have a question. Bringing the truth to people and helping them understand these years, you know, what's wrong with government and so forth, they've turned the blind eye to voting and to getting behind anyone. They might get behind one, but they don't get behind anyone else because, you know, we all know about voter fraud. We all know about, you know, all the things that go on in all of these elections. And so how do you tell these folks, listeners, you've got to vote? You just cannot say, I'm not going to vote because it doesn't mean anything anymore.
Well, people like you guys and myself and commentators that publish articles, it is our responsibility, small, medium, and large shows and print, wherever, we must open our voice, wherever we are, in our job, wherever we are, in our county, community, go house to house. And you're right. Christians, shame on a good chunk of Christians. It was like, what, up to a third of them didn't vote last time because it wouldn't matter anyway. But see, that's exactly how a communist nation emerges out of a struggling nation that was capitalist and free. When the Christians decide, okay, it doesn't matter anyway, God must be judging us, so you know what, we're just going to hell, so we're not going to do anything. Shame on anyone who thinks that.
Let me ask you this. A lot of the reason people don't vote is because they don't see much real difference between the Democrats and the Republicans. The only thing, the most common denominator between both parties, at least in some people's mind, is the degree of corruption, treachery, and even treason. They don't seem to mind. And people hit that gag reflex. What's the probability of causing the Republican Party to become genuinely honest and honorable? That strikes me as that's an interesting challenge, as compared to the probability of starting a new third party that actually started clean. Is there any prospect for a third party, or is there any prospect for an honorable Republican Party? Which is more likely?
Wow, that is the billion-dollar, maybe trillion-dollar question. I would like to think that an independent party could take hold, but people are very, very programmed, very programmed to Republican and Democrat. I ran for president in 2012 as an independent with no money, did 45 interviews, was filed with all the right paperwork and everything, and was serious about my country and what I had to say. I wrote a book about it, the 10 chapters of what I would do. And people weren't ready. Independent parties, libertarian, they haven't taken a foothold. So when you look at the diseased GOP, which has a civil war going on with the Tea Party and the establishment, the only thing I can think of is really support the Tea Party types, the ones that are conservative, that get in there, the Ted Cruz types, that come forward and that have shown courage. We must get behind them powerfully, and nobody's going to be perfect and do everything that we want, but if they can get the basic things right, repealing Obamacare, constitutional principles, low taxation, freedom to keep capitalism going and bless businesses and help them, if they can keep the basics right, then we can live and we can go and see another day.
We're going to break right now with Dr. Lori Ross. We will be back on Financial Survival, Melody and myself. We'll be back in a moment. Please stay tuned.
countries have denied internet access for their people during civil strife. The FCC seized in-use commercial shortwave frequencies right after the September 11th attacks. No one communication system can be depended on to be there when you need information. You need choices. You need a KU band free-to-air satellite system from AVR. The AVR system includes a receiver, an LNB, and a 75-centimeter dish. All you need to get on your own is the coaxial cable. The system is delivered to your door for $149.99. That's right, delivered for $149.99. That's the shipping and the system, $149.99. Call 541-225-4659. That's 541-225-4659. Or visit AmericanVoiceRadio.com and click Satellite System.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it. Nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cedarstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Alfred Addisk here on Financial Survival with co-host Melody Cedarstrom and our guest, Dr. Lori Roth. And we've been talking about the American political system, prospects for 2014. We haven't touched on 2016 yet. We'll get to that, I guess, in a minute. But before we do, one of the things that we've got a problem with American voters. Half the people don't even bother to vote that are eligible. And sometimes more than that, sometimes it may be close to 60%, but you can almost depend on at least 50% not to vote. Part of the reason, I think, is when people vote, it's not as if they express their approval for a system of values. It's as if they're making a bet, all right? And a lot of people don't want to bet on someone who can't win. And therefore, they don't. If they don't have the perspective, they don't care. If Obama can win, they'll vote for Obama. They don't care if the other guy is a good guy. They are going to vote for the winner. And we have, that's part of our mentality. People don't perceive that politics is a process. It's not just an event. What you do in this election will help determine what happens in the election after that. It's not a one-time event. It lays a foundation for 2 years later. And if you do enough good this time, you can get a lot of good in return maybe 2 years from now. Do you agree, Dr. Roth, that maybe the people vote on the basis of winners and losers rather than right and wrong?
Sadly, yes, I do agree. And people are entertainment-bound creatures and stimulus-bound. And the person who was brilliant and very charming and entertaining in that speech or had the last word or the last say, sometimes he can get ahead and get a lot of media attention. But as you said, usually the media is part of the big problem, is they are sold out to the progressive agenda and not to the truth. And so it becomes a big battle of money and who gets media and who can have the last say. And every once in a while, someone does something legitimately courageous, like when Ted Cruz stood alone. Even the Republican establishment turned against him and thought he was nuts. But he was a man of courage, and that got a lot of media. But we need people like that to push forward and somehow get the media, like in the 2016 and the 2014 election, but we need people to do it for the right reasons, because it's the right thing to do, and trust God for the details. You know, and if you don't get attention from media, it's God's business. We need people like Ted Cruz who will do the right thing courageously no matter what.
What do you think about internet-based political campaigns? They've succeeded a time or two in the past. Governor of, what, Minnesota? I can't even think of his name. Former wrestler. He won on
an Ventura.
Internet. Yeah, Ventura, yeah. Jesse Ventura. And then we had something similar, what, out of Vermont, back probably about 8 years ago, and I think he was running for the presidential nomination. And again, I can't think of his name.
Howard Dean.
Howard Dean, exactly. And his campaign was primarily on the internet, and they did spectacularly well. Are those days gone? Was that kind of a flash in the pan, and had these powers that be, they now have the internet under control where you can't make that internet campaign, or do you think that's still a viable possibility?
I think it's more of a possibility than ever. I think things are changing dramatically. Social networking, Facebook, Twitter, all the lists people have, all the talk radio shows and commentators who write and publish. I write one or two articles and publish them on 8 or 10 journals every week and have since 2001. Well, there's a lot of people like me who do things like that. And you who have shows. I think if a person or conservative or conservatives can get the word out via social networking, even if they don't have a lot of money, and put together their ideas, what they think, what they're running on, I think that a person could, in the days and months and years ahead, win on social networking and on talk radio and get things going. But it would take a lot of networking, and it's going to take organization and teams of people to do it. Because the big money people typically aren't the people that you want to run your country or your state.
I agree. They have vested interests, plus... The problem with big money people is this. Bible warns against the love of money. It says it's the root of all evil. You don't come to big money in this world, generally speaking, unless you have a very strong affection for dollar bills. Right? And it's, if you get the big money, chances are you have a system of values that's based more on economics than it is on moral right and wrong. So you have to be concerned about the big money people. You can't just follow them around and hope they'll give you a couple of bucks if you follow close enough. We have to learn to become a more moral people, and even assume that morality can triumph over economics. Do you think morality can triumph over economics in this day and age? Or are we so bound up in dollar bills, things are kind of hopeless?
I think that the Holy Bible has shown us the path economically. God was about economics, and so was Jesus, and talking about the parable, the talents, et cetera, et cetera. But Chronicles 7:14 is brilliant. That's God's foreign policy. And if people think he's let go of this country and doesn't have a plan or any mercy for us, what does it say? If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I forgive their sins. Then will I heal their land. And you know, he promises all these things after we repent and are humble before him. He will heal our land. But, you know, and he understands how much in debt we are and the struggles that we have. But we as a people, God needs to see a remnant of faithful people who will pray in his strength and his healing and will make a difference in their families, their workplaces, their communities. And if there's nobody conservative running for office, I'll give this challenge to your listeners. Don't sit there and do woe is me because no one's running. You shut up and run. You trust God and run for office yourself.
Yeah, I agree with you. Mm-hmm. I agree with you. I think that's, and I think it's wonderful advice, and I don't doubt a lot of people are going to pay attention to what you've just said. Yeah, maybe we should run. maybe we should run for office. And
I don't know that it was worth a hill of beans, and I probably just did nothing but get mocked by a vast majority of people when I ran. I didn't own my home. I was recovering from a near-fatal motorcycle wreck still. I had a talk radio show where I didn't make hardly any money. I had two small children. When I ran for president, I had nothing but ideas, and I put them in my book. And I had passion and love for my country, and I didn't see anybody running. I mean, I looked at Romney, and I looked at Obama, and I thought, Lord, have mercy. I'm a boot scrape, but I'll run. And I was obedient, and I did 45 interviews, and I got the ideas out there. And I don't know what God would have for me in the future. I still have no money. I have a show that's growing, but it's humbling. I don't think I've made a salary in over a year. But do you decide what you're going to do and be obedient or not based on money or power or what people or groups, poll numbers say? Or do you do it because it's right and let the chips fall where they fall?
Yeah, I understand. And what you're finally talking about are whether you are seriously committed and passionate about your system of values and your morality. Are you passionate about it? Or are you just in it for the money? And if you're just in it for the money, people don't. You know, if you can't make a buck, most people don't try. But if you're sincere about it, then you're there. For what it's worth, I ran for the Supreme Court of Texas back in 1992, which is supposedly illegal because Texas Constitution says you have to have been a judge for 10 years on a lower court before you can run for the Supreme Court, and you have to be a licensed attorney, and I'm neither. But I'm a student of the law, and I read some relevant law. I found an 1870 law that I read to entitle me to run for public office in the Supreme Court, and I did, and I got 201,000 votes. Now, it was triviality. The winner got about 5 million, but I understand a little bit about running, you know, just because it's the right thing to do.
Well, that's and no one can ever take that from you. I mean, people can cry and wail and say that they are conservatives all they want, but until you put your money where your mouth is and you do what's right, regardless of if you sell books or if anyone helps you with money or power, you know what? It takes guts to go in the ring. You might get thrown out. You might get bloody. But guess what? You went in the ring, and all those morons who watched and stared didn't.
No, it was interesting, and it raised a lot of attention within the system where they sat back because it's not supposed to be legal. All right, but I got on the ballot anyway and received 201,000 votes, and there wasn't a lot said about that publicly, but privately, I'm sure they sat back and said, "Uh-oh." We got a problem here. All right, the system is not quite as tight as we thought it was. So it was satisfying. I had a good time doing it. But I understand. You run not just to win. You run to make a point. You run to communicate ideas. You run to tell other people this is possible. And it's worthwhile. Even if you don't succeed, it's still worthwhile. And I'm sure you understand that. You ran for president. I'm sure you understand that what you did, even though you didn't wind up winning or making a blip exactly on the radar, nevertheless, you had to reach a lot of people. You had to inspire a lot of people. And some of them, maybe they're going to stand up this year, and maybe they're going to stand up in 2016 or 2016.
Well, you do the best you can. I think it's critical that more Tea Party types and people of guts and integrity run for the Senate, for the House, for the, you know, state, for local offices, city council. We must have, I don't even like the term conservatives, but patriots who love God and country and common sense and integrity run. We need you to run because if you run, and like you say, the ideas still get out there. They get exchanged. And that gives people courage. Well, if they can do it, maybe I can.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Mm-hmm. You need that first person to stand up sometimes, and they do something that everybody else would like to do, but they, oh, no, we couldn't do that. It can't possibly work. One guy does it, and everybody says, wait a second. He's not that smart. If he can do it, I think I can do it too. So you know, you hope you make a difference. But again, for me, you have to understand that that politics is not an event. It's a process. What you do in this year's election will lay the foundation for what happens in 2016 and 2018. You can't just look at it whether you won or lost this year. You got to look at it in terms of what you've done.
And Melody and her and I have talked many times about this. We do have massive tentacles all the way through our educational system, our legal system, the White House, the House, and the Senate, all through branches of government, new age ideas and new world order and sustainability and Agenda 21. It's all over the place. But the thing that I know is if a nation hearing this will not just pray once because it emotionally feels like a high for that day and you feel like you're really religious. No. Pray in a disciplined, regular manner, warfare. Call down the forces of God into this country and get behind conservatives. It's not just the voting thing. It's the prayer and the humility of the people. God will listen. And how many times has he done the ridiculous to save a whole nation? When the children of Israel were running away from the largest army on earth, the Egyptian army coming to kill them, and God's idea was to run them all the way to the sea, and then they were going to drown, apparently? No. God was going to part the dang sea, and they were going to go across, and then he was going to drown the Egyptians. But that's God. He will listen, and he will provide a way of escape for America if we are faithful and believe and do the right thing.
Why don't you give folks, why don't you repeat Chronicles 7:14 to people one more time? We've got about 60 seconds left, and then give them some contact information or promote your program or whatever you'd like to do.
Thank you. I say this on my show all the time because I believe it, and it's in the Bible. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will they hear from heaven, and then will I forgive their sins and heal their land. You can listen to me and find out more about me and read my articles and listen to my archives. They're all free at therothshow.com. Therothshow.com tells you all you need to know, probably too much about me. Or you can Google my name, and a lot comes up, my articles and things and stories I'm working on, Dr. Larry Roth. And thank you so much for the time. I mean, we're going to get our country back. I'm optimistic because God is in control.
Well, I'd like to have you back, Lori, so you can talk about the Wells, Texas. We didn't have a chance to get to that. The hour went by very quickly, so perhaps you could join us again soon.
Yeah, I'd love to do that. I'm continuing the articles in a series. If you want to read what I'm discovering about the cult, they call themselves an evangelical Christian church in Wells, Texas. There's 5 articles in a row at therothshow.com, and I'm not done with them. They're about as Christian as ice cube factories are in hell.
All right, Dr. Roth, thanks very much.
Thank
we
you,
certainly
Lori.
Enjoyed having you on the program. Thanks a lot to all of you folks for listening. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom. Be back mañana. In the meantime, the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, Dr. Roth, and Frank, the producer. Bye-bye.
Bye. A single penny left for me.